Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. So listeners, welcome back to part two of the podcast of Three Men for Thee in the Realms of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. I'll remember to post, as I did in the last podcast, some links if you want to contribute to help the crisis in Ukraine. Contributions would go towards foods, medical supplies, clothing to help the refugees. But most importantly, we're resuming this amazing dialogue with Jason Williams, who is the executive director of North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. And we have an ambassador for the coalition, Dr. Paula Brittany. And we're continuing the conversations. We left off with Paul talking about what's going on in Poland. So we'll just continue the questions. So Jack, I'll pass it on to you for the next question.
Let me jump in there if I can.
Okay, sure. Alan, go ahead.
A little bit of a follow-up with the Black Church. You've got a church here, Dr. Paul?
Yeah, my church is in, I was born in Winston at Baptist Hospital, lived in Mount Airy for 5 years before moving to the Gaston County area. And I pastor a church in Dallas, North Carolina, and it is a multicultural church.
Okay. What challenges do you see there and all in your congregation with regard to the freedoms and all and voting strictly Democrat and, you know, all this? What do you see as a pastor that you might encourage some of those that might listen to this podcast, some other Black pastors that could help with this situation?
Well, as a pastor, you should never stray away from the issues. It's something that you preach about every week. And there's nothing wrong with tying the issues into candidates or into, not to endorse or to discredit, but right, what candidate believe. Not only that, you can also tie your messages into parties. What do parties believe? What are their stance? And I don't think we should shy away from that as ministers. All through the scriptures, we find where God used many biblical characters to address what kings and queens and other nationalities and groups outside of Israel was doing, and politically what they were doing. Even Jesus himself would address what Rome was doing to them, and not only the religious element, but the government at that time, what was happening, how to oppose it, how to pray for it even. So there's so many biblical responses to government that we as believers and as pastors should stand up and speak about. And so we do with the Faith and Freedom Coalition, as Jason mentioned, are willing to go into churches and to stand with those pastors that they know they want to do it. They don't know exactly how to do it. And we can kind of chart out some areas to help them go down that road.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow, great. I ran over to my bookcase and pulled out the Salt and Light from a few years ago, when my first one, actually. And as Three Men for Thee, you've benefited us in so many ways. One way is we found the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston, through you guys. And when she was speaking up, I'd never heard of her, but I bought her book. And I was, again, I keep using that term blown away, because I don't know how else to describe it when you're just so amazed at the speakers. But I we've had her on the podcast, and I just marveled as I went through all your speakers, and I'm going, just fantastic speaker after speaker after speaker. And this guy, E.W. Jackson, that guy, he had me. I was ready to go to heaven right there when he finished speaking. I was ready to just lift right off the bench and go on to be with the Lord. I mean, Bishop E.W. Jackson, man, what a fantastic speaker and Christian man this guy is. Blown away. And then last year, you started us off, as I recall, with a fellow from Tennessee, I think outside the Nashville area. And you had him to open it up on purpose because, man, I mean, he had you riveted from the first 60 seconds right on. And so I just want to thank you for putting this stuff together. I don't know how you find these people. I guess the Holy Spirit is leading them to you or you to them or however you're doing it. But boy, it is fantastic. But on a sad note, I do notice that in today's Winston-Salem Journal, one of the speakers that we had there a few years ago, Nathan Tabor, says Nathan Tabor indicted on felony extortion charges, former Forsyth Republican chairman, accused of making threats to a sheriff and police chief. And I'm, you know, like you said, the devil is, he's looking to destroy any and all of us. And you have to be vigilant, boy. And we've got to pray for one another. We've got to put you guys on the list all the time so that we're concerned, for example, about our pastor. We pray for him all the time because I know for a fact that the devil will use women in particular with pastors. I've seen it at the churches where I come from in Florida. I lived in Tampa area for 26 years. I saw in one church happened three times where the devil had a plant in there, and he would, for however he was able to get to the pastor, and the next thing you know, he's having to resign because they had an affair. He is walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he will devour you. So therefore, we got to pray for you guys because I know he wants to destroy your organization.
Man, that's spot on, Jack. And I think, you know, when you quoted that scripture in First Peter, when you think about the way they, you know, Peter refers to the devil where he says walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's not a passive thing. I mean, he is active trying to take down the people of God. And man, you're spot on. Our leaders and our pastors, I mean, we've got to pray for them. They're under attack constantly. And I think we need to also be cognizant of knowing that, you know, our leaders, our pastors, our political leaders, that we're all flawed people. You know, we learned that probably firsthand this past week when we saw what happened with the lieutenant governor, and it came out where about 10 years ago he had put a Facebook post out where he said that he and his wife Yolanda had an abortion back in 1989, and he had came out and talked about how they were remorseful for that act and how it was wrong. And you saw the media, they took that. They took something that happened, you know, 30 years ago, and they just attacked this man. And they went after him, and they wanted to use that to tear him down. Something that happened 30 years ago that he admitted was wrong and wished they had never done it. It was before he ever was in the public light, before he was ever in public office, before he was ever a Christian. And if you look at that, that's a perfect example of knowing even somebody that I would hold in the highest esteem, we are all flawed on our best day. And I think if we consider that, we remember that, that when you think about the lieutenant governor, you know, those of us that are believers, I was with Mark on Sunday, and he was just amazed and blown away at the number of people that have reached out to him and Christians that have reached out to him and supported him. And certainly none of us supported what he did 30 years ago he doesn't support what he did 30 years ago. But I would hate to be defined by one of the worst decisions that I've made. And so I think that's a great example of that, Jack. And I think you're right. The devil wants to take us down, and he's going to do whatever it takes to do so.
So, Jason, can you give us some insight as to what's in the future for North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition, activities and events that might be coming up in the state?
Yeah, so, we'll start. We'll talk a little bit about Salt and Light. You know, when the Salt and Light Conference is basically a version of similar to what we do at the national level. So Ralph puts on a national conference called Road to Majority. And this year that will be held in Nashville, Tennessee. So that's something that, you know, we bring in speakers from across the country, and there's probably this year there'll be anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 people there at the conference. Probably one of the few conferences, national conferences, that has that many people left going on now anyway. And so with you know, Salt and Light, we've made that our North Carolina conference, and we've held it there in Mount Airy for several years, and frankly, Herb, we've kind of outgrown that facility. Last year we were completely sold out. We couldn't get anybody else in. It was standing room only, and it was very hot in that room. And matter of fact, we even I think maybe when Paul was speaking, we even blew one of the generators. So the power went out a couple of times. And
he's a hot speaker, I tell you.
Absolutely. God was on him, and it just took the speaker out. And so this year we have found a church in Charlotte. We've not even publicly announced this yet. So your show will be the first place we've shared this, but it'll be in Charlotte at Freedom House Church, September 23rd and 24th. It'll start Friday night, and then we'll go all day Saturday, the 24th. And we're really excited for that. And Jack, what you were talking about, where you said what your takeaways were, that's what our goal is. We want people to go in here and really get a good mix of faith-based leaders and speakers to talk about, you know, what's going on from a biblical standpoint, and just charge us up and really leave revived in our spirits, but also bring in some political leaders and some people that are in that arena that have a different perspective to give us an update from just a conservative standpoint. So, you know, it's basically just like a faith-based conservative political revival meeting, if you could call it that.
This is good description.
This is kind of what we want it to be. And one of the most encouraging things I heard after last year was people that came by and said that they were helped by this, they were encouraged, they were revived, and the feedback we got afterwards. And listen, that's what makes all the work and all the effort and frankly, all the money. We invest a lot of money into the conference. We, you know, the conference doesn't make any money for us. Matter of fact, we lose, I think last year it was a net negative of about $40,000-$45,000 we lost. But we make that up through the year through generous donors that contribute to that. And our goal is not to just put on a fancy event or a nice event or for people to leave and think, that's nice. I'm glad I got to hear Janine Pirro, or I'm glad I got to hear Mike Huckabee or Dinesh D'Souza or whoever it is. I mean, that's neat, but that's not what we want. We don't want something that's just neat or cool experience. We want people to leave changed. We want them to be revived and know that we're around 1,000 other conservative believers that share our view on these things. And so we're excited about that. And you know, we've expanded our team. You've got the Mosiers up in Mount Airy who, you know, a lot of this was their brainchild when they got a burden years ago to do something like this. They started it in the first year. There was 150 people, and God has honored their efforts that it's just continued to grow every single year. And we've expanded our team, and we brought on some talented individuals like Paul who just really helped take it to the next level. And just their creativity and the fact that just God has really helped us and helped our effort. So we've got that going on this year. But really our biggest focus in 2022 is our Get Out the Vote effort. And so probably starting sometime around August, We've got a database of about 1.8 million targeted people of faith. They're evangelicals, they're faithful Catholics. These are people that we would define as people of faith that are values voters. And so what we're going to do this year is we're going to knock on, of those targeted 1.8 million, we're going to knock on about 450,000 of their doors. And we're going to give them a voter guide. We have a nonpartisan voter guide that what Paul just said, it doesn't tell you which one to vote for. It doesn't tell you which one's good or bad. It just tells you where these candidates stand on the issue. And many of these issues are issues like life, religious liberty, marriage. But we also throw things in there like certain tax cuts, voter ID, and other things that are important to us. And so we put that in people's hands so that they become an educated voter. We'll do that. We'll send out about 1.5 to 2 million mail pieces. So a lot of those people will follow up with a piece of mail that's got that voter guide on there. We'll do our church voter guide. So our voter guides are church compliant. We're a 501c3. We're a nonprofit. We don't endorse candidates. We don't support certain candidates. We just want people to know where these candidates stand. And so we have right now somewhere between 22 and 2,500 churches across North Carolina that distributes our voter guides in their churches. So we'll do that. We'll do some digital targeting. So we'll take that universe and we'll target those people digitally. We'll on social media and if they're on, you know, ESPN.com or, you know, if they're ever desperate enough to go to a Kentucky Wildcats website, you know, we'll try to reach that person if they're that depressed with life. So we'll go with them. And then we'll also do some peer-to-peer texting. We'll reach out to people. And when early voting starts, and we'll let them know that early voting started, we'll give them a link to click on to show them where they can go vote early. We'll send them another text message 2 days later to give them a link to remind them early voting is still going on. Click on the link to check out our voter guide. And we're going to continue to reach out to those folks until they actually go out and vote. And we were excited in 2020. I was talking to Paul the other day, and he was pointing out to he was speaking at a local GOP meeting, and he shared the news that in 2020, the GOP had record turnout of about 75%. I mean, it was huge, really high for that election. And on our universe, of the 1.8 million that we reached out to, of our universe, God truly blessed our efforts, and we had about an 84% voter turnout of our universe. And so we were able to turn out 84% of that 1.8 million people of faith that we reached out to. So we're going to do that again and try to double down on those efforts, try to get that out, because honestly, there's a lot at stake. Let's be honest. If you just look around, you know, it's not just the fact that we're paying a lot of money for gas. That's what everybody thinks about, because that's the thing we're doing a couple times a week right now. But look, Jack, you mentioned it. Religious liberty is at stake. It's a real thing. If you look at all these big, comprehensive pieces of legislation that are coming out, a lot of them have more censorship for believers, for pastors. I mean, when we've got certain cities where they're subpoenaing pastors, their sermons, when you got pharmacists that have to fill the morning after pill, when you've got just all of this stuff happening right now. I mean, I could go down the list, but I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know where we are. When you see that, you can only sit idly by for so long until it's no longer the left that's the problem. It's us that are the problem. So if we don't do anything, it's only us to blame for this. And so really excited. We have a lot of outreach. And in addition to that, GeoTV, Paul is heading up, I'll let him share about it, but he's heading up a bold, courageous tour, and that's, man, that's going phenomenally well. So I'll let him share a little bit about that, but we're really excited. And as you can tell, I can talk
about you got me excited, man.
Well, I'll just chime in a little bit about our bold and courageous tour. We're taking existing people that are already elected officials, for example, like a Ted Budd or Mark Walker, and take them around the state. Our lieutenant governor, we just had the Speaker of the House, Tim Moore. We take these elected officials around and let them express their heart and be bold and courageous about their faith and about the freedoms that we have here in this great state that we have. and then some national, you know, like a congressman or a senator, those as well, about their, how passionate they are for our country. And so we're doing these tours. We stop at different places. We just had one Saturday at a gun shop, and bring the elected official in, people from the community come in, they hear them talk, maybe 5-10 minutes, and then have some Q&A. So they get to interact with the person that they're gonna vote for. And they can ask them questions like, how did you meet your wife? And it may have been on a mission trip. Well, no one would have ever known that we have an elected official that met their wife on a mission trip in Russia, unless you're at the event. And so those are the kind of things that we're doing to get the word out, what the Faith and Freedom Coalition is all about, and what our candidates are really thinking about, and how they're voting when they're either in Washington or in Raleigh.
It's interesting. Wow.
We can talk about off air now. So we got this kicked off last year, and Judge Jeanine Pirro came in last year, and Paul and I got to spend the day going from Raleigh with a couple of stops throughout the trip. And we ultimately ended up that night or the next day in Asheville and then back to Charlotte. And man, the stories we can tell. Oh, yeah, that was a kickoff.
Well, I saw a picture of you posted with the judge eating steak somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I think she owed me that after last year. It was it was a good time. She's great. She's great.
I'll just throw this out there.
Sure.
Sean Hannity called Judge Jeanine while we were together, and she ignored his call to continue a conversation with Jason. I'll just let you know.
All right. Wow. Well, I can't tell you how inspirational what you all have done. Let me just give you a real quick testimony. I hope this will encourage you. After attending my first Salt and Light, I became a poll observer. I became a chief judge. I've gotten involved, like my friends can't believe that I've gotten involved. Plus, we try to have as in our little tagline for our podcast, you know, as you know, we say in a realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. The Bible is a supernatural book, and people forget about that. So I like to hit all three of those areas because those things are important to me. And now that I'm a senior citizen, they mean even more because I know I don't have much time left, no matter how I look at it. I'm like in the fourth quarter, you know, I'm just praying I'm not at the 2-minute warning, but I am in the fourth quarter. And I know that my time that the Lord has given me is coming to an end. So I'm trying to be like Paul and cross that finish line as strong as I can. And you guys, your organization has really inspired me and helped me. God bless you guys.
Oh, well thank you so much, Jack. That means a lot. I'll share that with our team. That's, gosh, that's encouraging to hear. And you're right. I mean, I appreciate you guys putting that in there about the supernatural. The thing I'll leave you with is I remember, I guess it was about 2 years ago, Chuck Todd on I guess it was Meet the Press. He made the statement where he said the reason a lot of Christians and evangelicals support Donald Trump and other conservative ideas is because from childhood they've been trained to believe in fairy tales such as like Noah's Ark and Jonah and the whale and all that stuff. And you know, I was reminded of an old quote from Oliver B. Green, former preacher down in Greenville, South Carolina, who said he said, "Well, I believe the Bible so much that if it said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would have no problem."
I believe that too.
So, as a Bible-believing Christian, if Chuck Todd wants to call it a fairy tale, he can. But I believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
What Jack had to say about being a senior citizen brought to mind, how are we reaching those that are in some of these nursing homes and all that still have their mind, but they're influenced by or can't get to the voting polls and stuff like that because of their situation? Or is that being addressed somehow in what you guys are doing?
Well, we do a lot digital, you know, electronics, social media. So we know that group is not there, but we send out a ton of mail, and Jason could address that, but we are sending post mail, hand delivered to those people to educate them as well on what we're doing, how we're doing it, and also how they can go out and vote, or, you know, not leave, but they can mail in ballots. So yeah, we are, when we say voter education, it's every sphere, every geographically, and their genetic, you know, how, their age as well. Every aspect we want to target.
Great. Glad to hear that.
Does the Faith and Freedom Coalition have organizations in every state in the United States?
No, so we're in roughly about 24 states right now. So we've got an active organization in that many, and we've got, there's some other states and we're probably most active in states like Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Iowa, North Carolina, a lot of your more swing states, purple states, and places where we have people that are heading that up, that we have the most active organizations. But we're expanding. I think we're probably going to add a couple more this year, and then we'll add a couple more next year. I think we just added in the state of Nevada just in the past month. We have a leader out there who's starting that up, and so really excited about what God's got in store in the next few years, and what we're going to be able to do, and just having him honor our efforts. I mean, that's what we can do. We work hard. We try to put all the work in, and he gives the increase.
We're fortunate in North Carolina. He won't toot his horn, but I will. Jason is on the board of the National Faith and Freedom Coalition with Ralph Reed, and I guess we're probably the only state that has a board member, or maybe Iowa, but we're, you know, out of those other 24, 25 states that he mentioned, we have a local person, Jason, that sits on that national board.
Well, didn't you all hold a conference in Washington, D.C. Not too long ago?
So, matter of fact, our Road to Majority Conference is in D.C. pretty much every year. And then going back, it's always been in D.C. And when COVID hit, D.C. shut down, and they weren't quick to open back up. So we, for the first time ever, we had to move that conference from Washington, and we put it in Atlanta, I think that year. I think it was 2020. And then in 2021, last year, we had it in Orlando, Florida. And then this year, we're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. And hopefully next year, depending on how everything shakes out with the craziness in D.C., we'll be back in Washington. But yeah, it's been in D.C. every year prior to COVID.
Yeah. I think I had some friends that attended something recently in Washington, D.C. I thought it was Faith and Freedom. So there were about a group of 20 Ukrainians that came over. And one or two of them are business people and politicians. And their purpose coming here was to learn how to take God into politics. So when they were going back to Ukraine, they were learning how to do that, to take religion into politics. In the United States, we talk about separation of church and state. No, no, no. We don't separate the church from the state. We just don't want the state to control the church. So we need to bring the church more back into the state and everything that's being done, and into the schools as well.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, we're about at the hour mark, gentlemen. And I want to just thank you guys so much for carving out your busy schedule to talk with us today. You're such a blessing to us and to what you're doing to help, you know, save our nation from the path we're going in. So thank you all so very much.
One yes. Final thing, how can people contribute to you, and how can we pray for you?
Paul, you want to share with
us? You can go to our website, ncfaithandfreedom.com. You can contribute there. That's a good way, the easiest way. You can also mail in. If you go to our website, our PO box, you can mail things directly into to our organization as well, if you'd like. And we need your prayers, because we're on the road a lot. We want to hit every county. So there's 100 of those in this big state. So it's nothing for me to be in at Atlantic Beach or at the Outer Banks one day, and then next thing you know, Jason wants me in the mountains. So we want your prayers for while we're putting miles on the road, and also for the hearts that are open to us, and that our message can be clear, and concise, and that it can be life-changing. So we do cover your prayers.
So there was one time I had Paul from the Outer Banks to the mountains, and I will never live that down. So that's he drove across the state that time, and it was, yeah. So but no, we're only hindered by what comes in. We have the ability to reach a lot of people, like Paul just said, and there's a lot of people that want us to come and help out. And you talk about an absentee ballot initiative. You know, we've got a lot of those things, but you know, we just need the funding to do some of that. We've got the other stuff we're working on, and we are generously supported by the national organization. And the way they support us is, for every dollar that we get into the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition, they match that up to four times. And so for somebody that gives us a $10 a month contribution, that's the equivalent for us in North Carolina to about a $50 a month contribution. And we have people that give us $100 a month is the equivalent of a $500 a month contribution, because we get that match from our national guys. And so that's very helpful. Anybody that wants to support us, help us out. We're C3, it's tax deductible. We have a number of churches that support us out of their mission budget every month, and support the work that we do. So I appreciate you asking about that, and make sure you go to ncfaithandfreedom.com to learn more.
Well, I'll do, when this podcast airs, the video portion, I will post a link that will be visible on the screen, so people can also see what that web link is to make a donation to you all.
And very soon, sometime in the next couple of weeks, we will be rolling out the early bird tickets for Salt and Light this year. So again, we've not even announced it publicly, but that'll be coming out very soon.
Okay. Super, because I'll be ordering mine when you.
There's
when
two. There's out. Two that are. Yeah. So hold our tickets for us, okay? Well, thank
now,
you, gentlemen.
As we close, I would like to do a benediction that I do for both of the Bible classes that I'm privileged to teach every week. So if we could just say a quick little prayer here. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may you know the peace that passes all understanding through the knowledge of Christ. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Boy, we love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.